Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. I want to talk about resolve. And if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Let's talk about resolve this morning. You know, resolve is not just something that you do at the beginning of the year. We think about New Year's resolutions. At the beginning of the year, we say, I will do this and I will do that. Sometimes we fulfill those resolutions, sometimes we don't. But we can make a resolution at any time during the year. We don't have to reserve it for a New Year's resolution. We can have resolve any day of the week. In fact, with regard to our relationship with God, we need to do that regularly, not just at the beginning of the year. And the greatest resolve we need is the resolve to come out of our sin, come to God, and obey His Word. Will you do that today, friends? You know, in our society, we are lacking character, virtue, resolution, resolve. We live in a world where people are all over the place morally and ethically. They don't have a moral compass that points north, if you will, to truth. And we're lacking individuals today with character. Someone that you can count on, someone that has resolve, someone that has honesty, someone that has integrity. It's almost expected in our society for everybody just simply to be whatever they want and don't judge anyone, and they can have sin in their life and it's no big deal. And we're losing a sense of character and integrity and honesty and service and resolve, those kinds of qualities, virtue, which means moral excellence. We're lacking in that today. And so I want to look at Psalm 101, a psalm that is attributed to David. It may have been composed during his reign as king. He talks about in the latter part of verse 6, he that will minister unto me. Maybe when David was a king and he had those under him serving him. And also in verse 8, the latter part, to cut off the workers of iniquity throughout the land. David may have had that in mind when he was conquering other peoples as a king. But regardless of when it may have taken place in his life, it is a psalm of someone who's professing to be upright. I will do this and I will not do this. The psalm is full of promises and commitments, resolve and resolution. I will is found several times throughout the psalm. And these resolutions include both the negative and the positive, and they need to be ours today. The negative, what I will not do, what I will not be a part of, what I will not be a party to, and what I will do, what I do want in my life. And so resolve. Let's look at it this morning. There are 8 verses full of resolutions and resolve. Let's make them ours today. And then we will close at the end with the resolve that we need to come out of our sin. First of all, in verse 1, the psalmist writes, I will sing of the loving kindness and justice. Unto thee, O Jehovah, will I sing praises. First of all, the psalmist was determined to sing of the Lord's love and justice. Notice the two-sided character of God. God has a loving side, gracious and merciful and kind and giving. He also has a just side where unrighteousness and sin must be punished. He's a holy God that cannot allow that to go unpunished. And so he will bring justice And so we find the same thing that we need in our life. Romans 11:22, behold the goodness and severity of the Lord. We need to have a resolve in our life to accept the truth that God has a two-sided character. Love and justice. So many people want to talk about the love of God, but they don't want to talk about his righteous judgment that he will bring on all mankind. And if we're not right with him, we're going to be judged accordingly. God cannot just simply overlook that. So a resolve to believe it and sing about it to others. And then in verse 1, unto thee, O Jehovah, will I sing praises. A resolve to sing praises to the Lord, to praise his greatness. Many people today do not believe in God. Some who do not hold him as a great and holy God. And they have forgotten about the greatness of God. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate or share with others, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Are we willing to sing praise? And verse 15, through him then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. Do we praise God not just in words but in our life? And when others around us are not doing it, will we have a resolve to do it? Here's another thing I want you to think about, friends, this morning as we go through this material. This psalmist did these things whether others around him or not did them. It doesn't matter if our friends are doing it or not, or family are doing it or not. It doesn't matter if co-workers and classmates and neighbors are doing it or not. You do it. I need to do it. But today it's, well, I'll look out and see if other people are doing it and then I'll do it. No, the psalmist says, I will do this regardless of what is going on around me. That's what we need in our lives today. So much today, a person determines if they're going to do something based upon what others around them are doing. Verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So we find that he goes on to have resolve to behave wisely in a perfect way. Here's a resolution to act wisely according to God's word. Wisdom comes from God's word, and I'm going to act wisely according to God's word. The perfect way is not society or what people think or feel, but the perfect way that is described in a perfect word. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect. So the perfect way comes from the perfect law of the Lord, or the perfect word. And I'm determined to behave myself wisely in that way. And I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Notice how the psalmist was determined to walk within his house, his family, with a perfect heart, a resolution to have a heart of integrity within the family. We need that so greatly today with husbands and wives and mothers and fathers to set that example for the others around them. When Solomon was giving his blessing and benediction in 1 Kings 8:61, let your heart therefore be perfect with Jehovah our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Very, very important. But we find that in his life, he did not do that. Later in chapter 11 and verse 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his God, as was the heart of David his father. And of course, if Psalm 101 was written by David. This would be an example of David. And then in contrast to that, his son who did not walk, and he allowed these foreign wives to turn his heart away, and he engaged in idolatry and so forth. A heart that is perfect. What does that mean? Not sinless. Individuals may sin from time to time, but a heart that is perfect in completely wanting to serve God and follow God's word and be based upon the word of God. And if sin does come in, then we immediately get that out of our heart and life by obedience to the gospel. But notice that statement, within my house. That's very important. That implies that others are around watching and looking, and we need to be setting that right example for them. Verse 3, I will set no base thing. The old English word base or debased, that which is not godly, that which is not holy. I will set no base thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. We've got the resolve to set no base thing, a resolution to guard the eyes against evil. Job said in Job 31 and verse 1 that he had made a covenant with his eyes not to look upon a woman with lust. We're not going to have the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life in us, 1 John 2:15. We're going to guard our eyes. We're not going to put something in front of it on the internet or somewhere else that is unholy and ungodly. We're just not going to do that, and we're going to have that resolve. The Pharisees in Jesus' day said, well, we're not going to commit adultery. But Jesus said, you need to back it up before that. You need to be careful not to look at a woman to lust that leads to adultery. That's just as wrong. Matthew 5:27, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say unto you that everyone that looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart. And if thy right eye cause thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell. So the eye is what looks. And then he goes on to talk about the right hand as well. So I'm not going to set base things before mine eyes. And he goes on to say in verse 3, that he was determined to hate the work of them that turn aside from God's word. He has a resolve to abhor evil and cleave to that which is good. Paul says that in Romans 12, verse 9. Abhor evil and cleave to that which is good. Will we do that? Will we have that resolve? Without resolve, we find ourselves doing these very things that are wrong. And the things that are right, we leave them undone. And the things that are wrong, we commit them. We need more resolve. We need to put up more of a fight. We need to have a stronger will, a more of a spiritual fortitude. You see, these are the things that are lacking in our society today. Today, it's just cave to whatever you feel. Just give in at any moment. Don't plan ahead that you're going to have resolution, moral and ethical resolution. Don't be a stalwart, firm, resolved individual. Just cave and go with feelings and impulses and desires. We've got to get back to being like the psalmist. And so, in verse 4, a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil thing. The psalmist was determined not to have a perverse heart. He resolved, in other words, to be pure, morally and ethically clean and pure. And that needs to be our attitude in life. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Proverbs 17 and verse 20, he that hath a wayward heart finds no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. So a perverse heart, a heart that is away from, astray from the truth of God's word. I will know no evil thing. The psalmist was determined not to know evil things. In other words, a resolution to be good at all times. I'm not going to see evil things. I don't want to hear evil things. I don't want to learn or know about evil things. I'm reminded of Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Jehovah, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. That needs to be my attitude. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be as oil upon my head. Let not my head refuse it, for even in their wickedness shall my prayer continue. So we need a resolve. Their judges are thrown down by the side of the rock, and they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Friends, let us have a resolve to be good. And I don't want to know evil things. Let's keep working through the psalm. We come now to verse 5. Let's continue this list of resolutions. Verse 5. Whoso privily or privately slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. Here is a resolve to speak well of others and to uphold the right of others to be spoken well of. So many people tear down others with their words, negative comments about others that are meant to tear down and destroy. Psalm 15, verse 3, he that slanders not with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. This is a list of those who will dwell in God's Zion. We're not going to slander people. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, we're to use our tongue for good, not for evil. And we can control the tongue. Let no corrupt speech, Paul writes, proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good as unto edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. No corrupt speech, but only that which is going to edify and build up. I'm not going to allow a person to slander his neighbor. Notice how that the psalmist was, this is not him slandering his neighbor, but somebody else slandering his neighbor. Notice how he felt about his neighbor. He's made in the image of God. He's a person. He's a human being. Today, people don't care about their neighbor. People don't care about other people. It's all about just looking out for number one. Have you ever thought about if somebody else does something bad to your neighbor, would you go to their aid? Today, it's all about just look out for number one, take care of yourself, and like the priest and the Levite who just walked by when their neighbor was in need, the Good Samaritan stopped, and Jesus said, we need to go and be like the Good Samaritan. When the man said, well, who is my neighbor? We need to care about our neighbors like the Good Samaritan did. But in today's world of hyper-isolation. We just want to keep to ourselves. We don't care about what goes on with our neighbor. Notice that with the psalmist. And then, him that has a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer, or I will not allow. The psalmist was determined not to allow any haughtiness or pride around him. That's a big problem today. He had a resolution to be humble, and he wanted others around him to be humble. James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5, we are to humble ourselves before God. And God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We have a lot of pride going on in the world today among world leaders and others. Very proud, and they will not admit wrong. They will not humble themselves before God. They will not follow God's word. They're the powerful ones, and they're the prideful ones. But it can be among a common citizen as well. So I'm not going to be around that, and I don't want others around me to be around that. Notice that the psalmist talks about those who are around him. That makes a big difference. Who do you put yourself in the company of? I don't want to be in the company of individuals who slander my neighbor and who are proud. Who are your friends? Who are your associates? Who do you spend your time with? That says a lot about your character and your integrity and your resolve. Look at verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall minister unto me. So people who are not living right, I'm going to put them out of my life. People who are living right, I want to be around them. The psalmist was determined to dwell with faithful people. Faithful in what way? Faithful to God's word. It's a resolution to be friends with the righteous and to be in association with the righteous. And we need to join ourselves with other faithful Christians. Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians to the Christians at Ephesus. And he writes them to the saints that are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. We need to be around them. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9. Paul writes to the church at Colossae and also to Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Are we going to be around the faithful in the land? Very important. Who are your friends? Who are your associates? Verse 7, he that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that speaks falsehood shall not be established before mine eyes. Again, we go back to this resolve of who is not allowed to be around me. I want to be around the faithful. I want to be around those that are walking according to God's word, but I don't want to be around deceivers and liars. Here is a resolve to not be around people who are deceitful. It's a resolve that I want to be honest, and I want those around me to be honest. This idea of deceitfulness and dishonesty is so prevalent in our society today. When Paul was listing the sins of the people of his day, particularly the Gentile people, he says in Romans 1:29, they're filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, that's trying to hurt people, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, similar to maliciousness, whispers, backbiters, hateful to God, and so forth. Deceit, lying and deceiving, so common today. I don't want to be around that. I'm not going to do that, and I don't want people to be around that. And then in a similar way, a resolution to speak truth and not falsehood. He that speaks falsehood shall not be established before my eyes. A resolution to speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. You know, speaking, how one uses the tongue is interesting. In Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. And Ephesians 4:25, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor. Speaking the truth. That's speaking God's word. It's also speaking what is true, speaking what is accurate, what is right. When I say that 2 plus 2 equals 4, that's speaking the truth. When I say 2 plus 2 equals 6, that's not speaking the truth. So it's not just truthful things in God's word, but truthful things just in life in general, that which is accurate, that which is true, that which is real. And we need to get back to speaking truth. This whole transgender thing is people not willing to speak truth, not just simply speaking the truth of the biological makeup of an individual. Many people just simply won't speak truth anymore. And when we go down that slippery slope of saying things that are, this is the way it is when it's really not, we're going to have mass chaos and confusion and problems in our society as we move forward. Speaking truth, not falsehood. And then in verse 8, morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land to cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of Jehovah. The psalmist was determined to destroy the wicked of the land. This is a resolution to keep God's people pure. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 5 to the local church at Corinth to get the sin out of the local church. Stop fellowshipping sin. The psalmist was determined to cut off the workers of iniquity. This is a resolution to remain separate from sinners, and we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11, and we are to come out from sin, 2 Corinthians 6:14. So resolve to stay away from sin. Friends, this is a psalm of resolve. And today we need to have all of these kinds of resolutions in our heart and in our life, and it begins with a resolve to come back to God. And Luke 15, I'll close with this. The I will of the prodigal son. He was living in sin, and he said, I will go to my father. And he leaves that life of sin. And it's a parable teaching to leave sin and come to the Heavenly Father. And we do that by obeying the gospel. Have that resolve, that I will resolve. And if I can help you with that, let's get together and study. But let's have the resolve that I will be right with God today through my obedience to the gospel and through Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us this morning, and I hope that you'll have a good day.